Monty.
Rias.
Versus.
Movies.
That's what this is.
Enjoy. Or
we
not.
Watched a movie.
We did watch a movie.
We watched several movies, in fact. We watched a movie last night, and we watched two movies today.
Oh, you're right. It's true. We are some movie-watching fools, because we've got a three-day weekend and not a whit of sense.
The movies we watched today, one of them was called Clay Dream. That was my pick. That's a movie about Will Vinton, a famous claymation animator, which he's either the famous claymation animator or you've never heard of him because you don't know claymation animator.
That is true. He is the California Raisin guy. That's what everybody knows him for. Fewer people know him for his absolutely nightmarish Adventures of Mark Twain, where some children meet Satan. It is bizarre.
He also did the PJs. I liked the PJs.
I never watched the PJs.
It's got Eddie Murphy in a little claymation sitcom. It's fun.
Wow, it must have been hard to do a sitcom schedule in claymation.
Well, that's why there were only 13 episodes.
I see.
Also, we watched Sick.
Oh, yeah, that is a slasher movie that is on Peacock. And it's a fun little slasher movie. It's nothing great. It's nothing. It's a fun little slasher movie.
Yeah, it sure does have people getting slashed in it, I'll say that.
It does. And it's kind of about COVID.
It's set during COVID, and the killer's justifications are pretty strained and COVID-related.
Yeah, I think we can say that.
It's mostly some dopes go out to a house, like my beloved Bodies, 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 but these dopes do not have obnoxious cartoonish personalities that make you want them to die.
Right, and there's only three dopes, whereas Body, Bodies, Bodies has like six or eight dopes. It's got a lot of dopes.
Oh, yeah, it's slopping over with dopes. So yeah. Many dopes.
Yeah.
I was going to say not Lee Pace, but Lee Pace is definitely a dope. He's just not one that you want to die.
Well, it depends on the role.
Well, I mean, in Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
Yeah, that's true.
He's a big, nice dope.
Yeah, he's kind of a goofball.
As opposed to Pete Davidson, who, oh my God, so good, such good casting.
Really, I enjoyed Bodies, Bodies, Bodies because it was a series of increasingly bad decisions made by all of the actors. And sometimes you just got to roll with that.
Yeah.
And speaking of bad decisions, we also watched Nine Deaths of the Ninja.
Oh, yeah. We watched Nine Deaths of the Ninja. And that movie, I thought, was pretty bad.
It was pretty bad. It did feature the screen premiere of Sho Kasugi's sons, who seemed to be like an 8-year-old and a 9-year-old and outperformed their father in everything except the throwing of ninja stars.
Yeah, I thought they were really good. This was Sho Kasugi's like fifth ninja project. It was after the three Kenin ninja movies.
Right, which I actually like.
And it was after The Master. And I think it was supposed to be a James Bond ripoff. Like the girl in it is named Honey Hump. And
yeah, it's very much a trying to be a James Bond style ninja movie.
Yeah, but it's one of those that all of the production value is spent on one helicopter and going to the Philippines so you can blow stuff up real good.
Yep.
We watched that because we had just watched Electric Boogaloo, the story of Canon Films.
And it was mentioned in it, so we decided to watch it.
Yes, every time I watch one of those things, I end up with a big list of movies I want to watch.
Yeah, that's a problem with us watching film documentaries. So as you can see, we also watched
Hang on. It is a problem because now my list of movies I want to watch contains Sahara, Life Force, Death Wish 3.
Life Force is good. Sahara's okay. Runaway Train has little to recommend it.
Runaway Train, the movie, that's in the documentary. They kept swearing, if somebody else had made this, it would be legendary. It's so good. It's so action-packed.
How far can it run? It's on tracks.
Well, we'll find out eventually. And King Solomon's Mines I want to watch.
Oh, no, you don't. I really like King Solomon's Mines. Not that movie, but as a property. I really enjoyed the book.
Sure.
I really enjoyed the 1940s or 50s version of the movie. And so when the Richard Chamberlain movie came out, because I went and saw it immediately in the theater thinking, oh, this is going to be cool. Oh, no.
It's not cool?
It's not cool. It's got Sharon Stone in it, and she hates her life and everyone. And, yeah, it's, oh, I'll let you watch it.
Here's a little anecdote from the Canon documentary that got me real excited about this movie. Menachem Golan said, "Get me the stone woman." And then when he saw the dailies, he was like, "Who is this?" He meant not the stone woman as in Sharon Stone. He meant the woman from Romancing the Stone, Kathleen Turner.
Ah, well, Kathleen lucked out by missing out on that role because yep. It looks absolutely like it was a misery to film.
All right, I think that's all of the recent movies that I can think of that we've
yes.
taken.
Those are not movies that we are versus.
No.
We are actually versus a different movie, which we saw in a theater because we're fancy, in 3D because we're even fancier.
In real 3D.
As opposed to artificial
yeah.
3D.
This movie, of course, is Avatar: The Way of Water.
The Way of Water.
As they remind you a few times during the movie, The Way of Water has no beginning and no end.
And it really felt like that during parts of that film. I liked it, but I kind of liked it the way that I enjoy a trip to the aquarium. There are all kinds of fanciful creatures to look at, but you don't really get that involved in their lives.
Yeah. I would say this movie was immersive, and that's not...
Is that a pun?
It is a pun, I guess, because you do spend a lot of time underwater, but just when you're out in the world, that's just an alien world you're in. It's not somebody green-screened. I don't see CGI. All I see is the magical land of Pandora and its many ridiculous creatures.
Which is the strong point of the movie, of the other Avatar movie as well.
Yeah, like... There was a time when if you were just swept away to another magical world for a couple hours, that was enough. And it might be enough for me.
Sure.
Although I will say, for the first like 2 hours and 20 minutes, I was sitting there thinking, well, this is lovely. I don't care about any of it or anything, but it's very pretty. And then the final action scene starts, and suddenly I'm 100% invested in all of the story beats that are paying
sure,
off.
Because by the action scene, they're on board a sinking airplane or ship or something. It's crashing. It's filling with water. You get a bunch of Titanic-style corridors filling with water, people running for their lives. Then there's a lot of fires around. It's a very good action sequence.
I mean, even before it's going down, like when the attack happens...
Yeah.
I'm instantly on my feet. I wasn't on my feet. I was in a very comfortable reclining chair. But
yeah.
In my head, I was on my feet like, yeah, she's going to kill him for this reason. That giant whale is going to do this for this reason. Like, it all was set up so cleanly.
It was set up so cleanly, but it took so long to set it up.
It did.
It was a long setup.
Yeah. But man, that's a good action sequence. You know what I think? I think James Cameron knows how to shoot action.
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, what with his starting with, was it Piranha or Piranha 2?
Piranha 2, although he says he got taken off the movie pretty quickly, so he doesn't count that as his first.
Well, he should do a remake because it would look really cool.
Yeah.
All those little piranhas trying to get away from a sinking ship.
Yeah. I think it's interesting, by the way. I've been thinking about this. This is an almost entirely CGI movie, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's a lot of motion capture. Everybody underwater was underwater during those scenes.
Ugh.
But that's just for the motion capture so that
right.
It would look like they were underwater, which it's a lot of effort. They do look like they're underwater at all times.
Yeah, it's really, technically, from a purely cinematic visual standpoint, this is a great film.
Yeah, yeah.
From a storytelling standpoint, it's a little weaker.
Yeah.
The main character, what is his name?
Jake Sully.
He is a terrible father.
So he has four children, I think.
Yeah, he's got four.
The two boys and the two girls. And he makes them treat him like he's in charge of their military platoon. They have to call him sir. They have to use military lingo all the time.
Yeah, it's really gross.
And you're their father, dude. Don't do this.
I know.
And also, he does something that drives me crazy in any movie that has kids in it, basically, where the adults refuse to listen to the children, even when the children have explicit proof of what they are saying. They're like,
yeah.
No, you shut up. You go to your room right now.
You shouldn't be there. Well, I am here, and here's what's happening. No, I don't care. Go to your room.
Like, and he's like that with all his kids. He tells one kid, you go apologize. He tells the second kid, you go over there. Now, when the first kid goes to apologize, he gets tricked and he gets in trouble. And then the older kid gets yelled at. You're supposed to watch him. Well, he can't watch him if you told him to do something else.
Yeah, he's not a great parent.
He says at one point, that Sully's stick together. That's our biggest strength and our biggest weakness. Your biggest weakness is that Jake is in charge of the Sullies.
Yeah.
If Neytiri, the wife, were in charge, things would be better.
Oh, yeah, she's awesome. She's a killing machine.
So, Avatar the Way of Water, a giant movie.
Yes, very long. Giant movie. We did not see it in IMAX, so it wasn't as giant as it could have been.
That's true. We were going to see it in IMAX, but it was snowing, and the line for the IMAX theater was outside. It was the opening weekend, so
it was just miserable. Our roads were all iced up, and the IMAX theater is inside Seattle Center, so you have to park in Seattle Center and then walk all the way up to the
Seattle Center is where the Space Needle is. It's a giant... like Bumbershoot, the music festival happens there.
Yeah, it's a giant thing that you have to walk to the middle of to get to the IMAX theater. In the snow and rain with frozen ground, no.
But, you know, we saw it in 3D. We gave it a good shot and liked it. It's a good movie. I will say it is very, very funny to me that it's going to make $2 billion when so many know-it-all jerks were convinced that it wouldn't. Because everyone's like, it has no cultural footprint, not like Marvel and Star Wars. Here's the thing. Marvel and Star Wars have huge internet fandom that is irrelevant to their monetary success.
It's true.
The Office has a big internet fandom. You know what the biggest TV show was when The Office was out? 2 and a Half Men, NCIS, The Big Bang Theory. You know what the biggest TV show is now? Yellowstone. That has no internet footprint. It doesn't matter. People watch it. That's the secret, James Cameron. He makes movies people want to watch.
Yeah, it's a movie. It's going to make money because people want to watch it, not because it's part of a cinematic universe. And don't even get me started on how much I hate cinematic universes.
Yeah, you know what I like about Avatar? You don't have to think about the movies between when they come out.
New
Avatar movie comes out? Sure, I'll see it. I'll enjoy it and then forget everything.
My memories of the first Avatar, I had to yawn.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I'm so excited. No, my memories of the first Avatar movie are that it was a movie. There was a guy who was human, but he became some kind of a blue thing and decided to stay at the end. That is it. And it looked cool.
Also, people are mad because it's like Dances with Wolves or Pocahontas or, you know what? It's like every colonizer narrative told from the non-colonizer perspective. And why is that a bad thing exactly?
I am a little tired of the white savior, even if he's blue.
He's not a savior,
but he didn't
though.
Save anybody in that. He just kind of,
Yeah, he might have saved them in the first movie. He didn't in this one. He's just a guy.
Yeah, he's basically a guy. I did like the world building a lot. I liked the way that
there aren't any buildings in this world.
No, the water people had buildings that they knitted together out of stuff, and they wore a lot of seashells.
Yeah.
And the tree people had different buildings that were like bird's nests, and I enjoyed that.
Yeah. Let's talk about Spider. Can we talk about Spider?
Spider.
What are your thoughts on the character Spider?
Here's the deal with Spider. Spider was left behind at the end of the last movie because he was a small child, and when the colonizers left the planet, they couldn't put him in cryosleep.
I love that explanation, by the way. Just, you can't put baby in cryosleep. You go, well, I never heard that before, but okay.
Makes sense, sure.
Sure,
fine, whatever. So he grew up on the planet, and his playmates are the Avatar children, the children of... The Sully family are his playmates, so he's kind of like one of those unofficial kids that your family picks up.
He's there to provide scale, because when you're just looking at the avatars, you forget that they're like 9 feet tall.
Right, so you got to have some little blonde dude with terrible white boy dreads.
Yeah, well, that's actually a moment I really like. When they're rescuing one of the kids, one of the times, the kids get captured a lot.
That's their hobby.
The kids are captured and they're on this ship that's sinking. And so two of the Na'vi are sneaking up and they're going to attack some humans. And you're like, okay, so what's this going to be like? Oh, that's right. It's a complete slaughter, because when it's just humans versus Na'vi, Na'vi are murderers. They're huge and strong and fast.
They're huge and strong and fast. And there is a, that's again, that's part of that action sequence. That's where you see what a badass the mom is.
Oh, yeah.
She's great. She just murders people left and right, and she uses a bow and arrow to do it. Screw you and your machine guns, dudes.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy that. I enjoyed that sequence. Like I said, the last, I guess, hour and a half of that movie moves real fast.
Yeah, there's a lot of setup.
But there is a lot of setup. But you know what? If you just zone out and look at the fish.
Yeah, that's true. There's always something you can look at on the screen.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, that's cool. That thing in the background is amazing.
Yeah, what kind of a fish is that? Ooh, these things glow in the dark. Lots of stuff glows in the dark. Bioluminescence, very popular in these movies because it looks great.
It does look great, though. So, Avatar, then. I mean...
We saw it. We didn't hate it. It made us very sleepy because it didn't end till 11 and we're old people.
Yeah, we saw the 7 p.m. showing because we're smart.
And we don't know what we're going to see next week yet. I don't know what's coming out. I know nothing about what's coming out.
Nice. We could still watch Puss in Boots: The Last Wish, a movie that just came out that people say is good. Are you familiar with the Puss in Boots character?
The Puss in Boots cinematic universe?
Yeah.
Vaguely, because someone played him in a role-playing game I watched online recently.
Well, this Puss in Boots is Antonio Banderas.
You're right. He's a spinoff from Shrek.
Yeah, he's a spinoff from Shrek. He already had his own movie a long time ago.
I'm not into it.
Okay.
But we never know. It might turn out to be that or that horny old ladies movie.
Okay, there's at least two horny grandma movies coming, and we keep seeing trailers for them, and I don't care for it.
I don't care for it either. On one hand, we're supposed to think that they're horny old grandmas. In the other, we're supposed to think that Sally Field doesn't know what a strap-on is. You can't be a horny grandmother and not know that.
I mean, it's nice that old actresses are getting roles, but... Please don't turn them into rapping grandma.
Yeah, everybody wants a rapping grandma movie. It's not... No, just come on. Come on, you guys. Seriously.
I think that's probably all the things we have to say.
I don't think so. We might be done here.
You want to talk about the Golden Globes?
We didn't watch the Golden Globes. No, because we didn't watch them.
Okay, bye.
Bye.